Grace and mercy and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear again these words from our gospel reading. And he, that is John the Baptist, said therefore to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" This is God's word. Please be seated. Hark, a thrilling voice is sounding. We just sang it. And then at the end of the service, we're going to sing, "Hark the glad sound." Hark. Listen. There is a thrilling voice, and there is a glad sound for us to hear today. And what does it sound like? "You brood of vipers, produce fruits worthy of repentance. Share your clothing and your food. Don't cheat others out of their money, and be content with what you get paid." Now hold on right there. Wasn't this supposed to be a glad sound and a thrilling voice? But when you actually listen to John the Baptist, it just sounds like he's preaching at us. And who likes to be preached at? We don't care for people condemning us as wrong or as bad and telling us we need to change, and here's what you need to do. And brood of vipers, really? That's hardly a glad sound or a thrilling voice. That is preaching. And to the sinful human heart, nothing is worse than being preached at. However, when faith, the faith that God granted us in Christ, when faith hears this voice, when faith hears that there is a better life to be lived than the one you're living now, when faith hears that there is a new and a glorious kingdom that is coming that you can be part of, and that the King is merciful and does not condemn us for our sins or our weaknesses, but that He is also the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world upon the cross. When faith hears that this King comes not only to forgive, but to raise us up to a new kind of life, faith hears this as a glad sound and a thrilling voice. So friends, as we gather here today in God's house on this second Sunday of Advent, will you confess with me that God's ways are better than our ways, and that before God, our lives leave a lot to be desired? Will you confess with me that Jesus came into this world to save sinners like us by His mercy and forgiveness, and that Jesus came to lift us up to a new and a better way of life? To the sinful heart, the good news that John preaches sounds just preachy. But to faith, that voice in the wilderness that calls for us to repent and urges us to a newness of life, that really is a glad sound. It's a thrilling voice. So let's just consider John's thrilling call to this new life in Christ by reflecting on three of the primary passages or phrases from this gospel reading today. And that first phrase is brood of vipers. Brood of vipers. John was not much of a charmer. There are a lot of nice ways to greet people, polite ways to greet people. "Welcome, friend. How you doing? Good to see you. Thanks for coming." But to greet them as the poisonous offspring of venomous serpents. But But what's most unsettling about that greeting that John gives them is that the same could be said to us. That we are by nature the children of snakes. We are the brood of that ancient serpent, the devil. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 8. He said, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do his will." And it's so true. I know it's true in me. The natural inclination of our hearts is to, just like it was for Lucifer at the beginning, the natural inclination of our hearts is to put ourselves in the place of God, to want to sit on his throne and call the shots for our own lives and make our own rules and even create our own standards of right and of wrong. When John says that we are the brood of vipers, that's not just colorful language. That's not hyperbole just to make a point. We really, factually are the brood of that ancient viper. And so the repentance to which John calls us is to look upon our sins like we might look upon a slithering serpent and snake as hideous and repulsive. And to say, as we said this morning, "I, a poor, miserable sinner." You could say that John's harsh greeting, "You brood of vipers," set up a narrow gate by that Jordan River, a gate of repentance through which John called them and calls us to enter God's kingdom. But most people will stubbornly refuse to enter through such a gate. They do not want to be preached at. They do not want to be told that they are wrong and what to do. They will not enter through a gate of repentance. But to those who do, whose hearts are opened by the Spirit to hear this word, to those who are willing to own up to that label of viper's brood, on the other side of that gate, they are going to hear the glad sound and that thrilling voice that proclaims them to be forgiven and baptized, redeemed offspring of God. The second phrase from this text is bear fruits in keeping with repentance. John says, do not begin to think to yourself that casual repentance that goes through the motions without genuine sorrow and a turning away from sin will save you. Do not think that because you are a child of Abraham or a child of an LCMS Lutheran or a church worker or whatever, that you are therefore secure. The judgment is coming. The axe is already laid to the fruit of the tree, to the roots of the tree. And only through that narrow gate of repentance will the sinner escape the wrath that is to come. But again, it's so important for us to remember that John's message is described in this text as good news. Because the new life that we enter into through that gate of repentance is a better life. A life that is characterized by peace with God and the joy of salvation and the hope of glory and love that sows goodness into the lives of others and reaps just as much goodness from them. For what you sow, you reap. I think Psalm 128 says it so well. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and who walks in His ways. It's a blessed life because it's a better life. That call of John to repentance is not a dispiriting call to a sullen and dour life of perpetual sackcloth and the renunciation of everything that's fun in this world. No, to enter in through that gate of repentance is to own up to the truth about yourself so that God can purify you. and refine you like the refiner of silver, and make of you a new creation of exceptional beauty, and restore to you the abundant life. And the third phrase from this text is the eager question of the people, what then shall we do? For those who have entered the kingdom of God through that gateway of repentance and have received on the other side the joy and the power of God's forgiveness, their relieved and their exuberant hearts cannot but ask this question, all right, now what? Now what can I do? To them, hearing this word of John, it's not a preachy word, but it's a thrilling encouragement, and it's a promise. As John says, well, now, of course, you're going to bear the fruits that are worthy of repentance. If you have extra clothing or food, you'll share it. If you're a tax collector, you will serve and live honestly. And even the most crusty-hearted soldiers will be transformed into people who will use their God-given vocations to serve others instead of abusing them. The fruit of repentance is that refined, transformed life, that better life that shows that same kind of generous, merciful love that God had for you shows that to others. And so to the Colossians, Paul wrote, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work. To the Philippians, he said, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And to the Ephesians, he said, I therefore urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And faith does not hear that as preachy. It hears it as a glad sound and a thrilling voice, because faith fervently wants to live for Him who died for us and rose again. It's the desire of our hearts to live for Him. We need direction. And so we hear that voice telling us what to do as a friendly voice, because we love the law of God, as the psalmist says. Faith wants to live a life that is worthy of our great Savior, worthy of our calling, worthy of the salvation which He has proclaimed and given to us. And of course, it's not that we can ever be fully worthy of the Lord, but that we would hear anew this glad sound and this thrilling voice of John the Baptist and repent of whatever it is in your life that's not worthy of Christ, not worthy of your calling as a Christian, and turn away from it and live the new and better life. Produce fruits worthy of repentance. To some people, that sounds preachy. But to faith, it's a glad sound and a thrilling voice. And we joyfully enter that gate of repentance, because on the other side, we know what's there. There we will receive the mercy of Christ. And there our relieved hearts will gladly reply, now, what shall we do? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.